Hello, my name is Remy and I like to talk. I love Weibo, and this is me just documenting my life's experiences, you know, as I go, the mistakes I make, the things I have learned and all of that. So if you like Weibo, if you like to just listen to people talk at your leisure time, this is where you should be. You know, we learn, unlearn, and we learn a lot of things here. Not forgetting to spread love, joy, and a lot of hugs. Don't forget, it is vibes all the way from here. So if you are in on any of the things that I have mentioned, this is the place that you should be. You are now about to listen to another episode of the Omnivore Podcast. Come along. Hello, beautiful people. Hi, what's happening? What's crack-a-lacking? It's your girl, Remy, Remy the Omnivet, and I welcome you to another episode of the Omnivore Podcast. Of a truth, I have been very inconsistent, and I'm just telling you that you should try and enjoy, quote-unquote, these very inconsistent moments, because a time is coming where, by God, I will give you content of all sorts, back-to-back, and you will see me everywhere. All up in your faces, all up in your ears, that you would not be able to resist. But for now, just take me as I am, because there are a lot of reasons that things are not coming the way they do. Technical issues, you know, and some other things that I'm not really willing to dispose or disclose. But anyways, happy new year. How's the year been for you? How has everything been with you? I hope that it has been good. And then even if it's not looking good, you've been positive. You're about to listen to the episode, I think I'm going to call it, I'll call it the denial episode. And before we go on, I have a guest. Now, her name is Ife Dolapo. She's a very special person because, oh my God, she's already blushing. She's very special because I walked into her room. I'm in school, by the way. I've gone back to school. I think that's one of the reasons why pod has not dropped since. So I went to her room to see a friend. And that's when I met her. She was all cool, all vibes, because obviously you enter someone's room, you greet. She was all cool, all vibes, and I love her voice. When you hear her voice, you're definitely going to know why. I told her that, okay, this is a very quick backstory. I told her, oh, hi, I love your voice. I'd like to feature you on my podcast someday. And fast forward to like a week after, Dolapo is on this show with me. Now, it was after like some other meetings that I discovered that we were supposed to probably meet sometime last year in September for an academy that I went for. She wanted to come, but some things happened that she didn't come for it. So I met her in school. I met her in my friend's room, and now she's my darling. So hi, Dolapo.
Hi.
Please introduce yourself to the people.
Okay. So my name is Ife Dolapo, but as I would like to be called, $20 because everybody needs coins.
Right.
Everybody needs coins. Like, I'm so glad to be on the podcast. And like you said, this is my first time being on a podcast. And if not for the circumstances, we would have met each other way before now. But nothing small. I'm so happy to be on your podcast. Yeah.
So this is my first time having someone on a pod. I'll keep saying it. So please just take it as it is. We get better as we learn. That's why I said read my vlog. So when you read my vlog, you understand some things about me, because it's not everything I can actually like say. And it's a very different state of mind when you're recording, when you're saying something, and it's different when you're writing it. You're like two different entities at different points. So the laptop walked in. I'm like, oh, this is what we're going to be discussing. And she's like, okay. We're going to be going deep because the topic is denial. And yes, before I forget, Dolapo, it's a tradition that whenever we come on the pod, we ask how we've been and stayed, and then we move to rants. We have the rant segment before we move to the major topic.
Okay.
So do you have like any rants? Like basically what's been happening with you? Anything that you like to like rant about?
Actually, yes. Right, I do have something I would want to rant about, because I don't know how we have to like resume school, but I've never been someone to resume early. Like if the world resumes January, trust me to resume like February or something, because I just like to take my time. I don't like to rush and all of that. So I don't know if your listeners are mostly like from uni learning, but the portal has been acting somehow, like sigi sigi. So I ended up paying my school fees twice, and it's been a lot of back and forth. Like, go to the bank and they'll be like, oh, the money is not with us, it's with Remita. Go to Comsit, and from Comsit, go to Bursary.
Oh, by the way, she's just mentioning some places in Unilorin, by the way.
Yes, go to Bursary, and from Bursary, they're like, oh, you take a week to get your money back. Don't worry, you'll be refunded. And from that to like the Mana Revenue being all, here's my number. I have my number.
What?
If you need anything, call me. But he'll be useful. Like, use men before they use you.
Hashtag be toxic.
Yes. Stay wicked, queens. Stay wicked. So hopefully, fingers crossed, I get my money back. I'm hoping, I'm praying.
That is bigger than a rant. That is huge. That's serious. To make someone go nuts twice.
It's like almost 50k.
It's like enough. They upped the prices. They upped it.
Yes,
unprovoked, unapologetically.
Like doubled it.
And then I'm not paying.
And yes, don't be like, oh, this is not just school fees. It can't be that much. My money is 46,961 naira, 46 kobo.
Please don't shade us in. Please don't even try shading us in federal schools. Yeah, whatever reservations you have about us, shove it in your pocket. We don't need to hear it.
We don't.
That's our rant, and we're standing by it. But for real, don't worry. I really hope that probably before the month ends, you're able to get your money back, please.
I hope so too. I really hope so.
And you return it back to the owner.
I beg. I need to splurge.
Return the money back to the owner.
The owner? Who's the owner?
The people.
Who are the people? Once I see the money, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm going to splurge. In fact, I'll take you out.
Child.
If you want to.
Oh, okay.
Bill on me. Mommy Sora, what do you want? Pick anything.
We'll speak about that after
the pod. Don't overspend.
We won't do that.
Don't overspend.
All right, so that was the last rant. My rant, as you guys know already, I usually have more than one rant, and I'm trying to think. I've been thinking when Dolapo was speaking, like, what do I choose to be my rant? Do I also rant about school, or do I rant about the fact that I don't even know how shitty people are? Yes. So I want to rant about the fact that people are not true to their words. I realized it now became a pattern, because there are three set of people on different occasions that have slid me, or they put me on a pedestal, and it was later I realized that, oh, this person just lied to me. Like, this person was using me to catch crews. Why would you do that? Okay, you reach out to me, you check out my stuff, you see that I'm trying my best to like do my thing, and I'm running my pee myself. You drop your comments, blah 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 blah, all good. And then you go up like, oh, we should do something sometime. Fine. First off, that's the first stage. We should do something sometime. Then I don't see you again, you ghost me. And then maybe I try to like, Alpha, let's do something. And then you don't have any response. You're not bold enough. You're not man enough to come tell me, oh, for this and this reason, we're not able to work together now. Maybe some other time. So I don't put my mind to something that is not even going to happen. That's the first stage. There are three guys. That's the first person that did that one. The second guy, second stage, even set up a meeting place, date and time, only for him to slime me. And then I see him like a year plus later. He doesn't even recognize me.
Can I say something?
Sure.
I feel like people don't like to be in your building process, quote unquote. I feel like
they
just don't want to be a part of it. And then when you're like all big and blown, I'm like, oh, I knew you were going to make it. Like, I knew you were going to do it.
Shut the fuck up.
Bro, where were you when I was literally toiling? You don't want to be a part of my building process, but you want to be in the success story.
Nah.
It doesn't work that way.
Like, I
people do that all the time.
And the resentment just started brewing up in my mind. But I had to just speak up, because, I mean, it's a new year. I'm turning another age. I want to be a better person. And I want to, like, practice all that I preach on all of these things. So I'm like, I call his name. I don't even call him his actual name. I call him his nickname that only people that know him very well close. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, blah, 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 blah. How do we know each other? And I reminded him, I had to say my roommate's name.
Can you imagine? He doesn't even remember you. Yeah. Like, he doesn't even reach you.
I had to say my roommate's name. My roommate in 100 level. I had to say her name because they're in the same department. They're in their final year now. So I had to say her name and he immediately clicked. He started begging. He held my hand. He's sorry. He actually wanted to meet up. Blah, 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 blah. I will text you. I saw him on Friday last week.
Are you serious?
It's almost a week. He hasn't texted me. He hasn't even said hi or anything.
No apology, nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Me, I already know that, that one is gone. But I feel like people should be more accountable. The third level, I think that's the one that's actually more painful because I could see clearly that this thing was shitty. So I have this friend that I fangirl over his pod. Like, I like his work. I like how, for me, I admire things that I'm not able to get yet. Instead of me seeing other people getting it, I actually admire and I tell them, I love this for you. For example, I have friends that podcast, obviously. We're literally a community in a way, technically. And then I assess their pods and I'm like, I like that you have this in your pod. I have that you have a group of people that you already work with. Oh, I like that you have a set designer. I like that you have a place that you record and things like that. You're not just still in a corner doing these things because I am there and I want to get to where you are even further. So I found girl over his pod. I like how honest and like blunt he is and stuff. And we just joke about the fact that, one day I'll be on your pod and all of that. So I happened to be in Lagos that time. I said it as a joke. I didn't know it was going to take it serious. You could have just brushed it off if he didn't want to take it serious and I would not honestly have held him
accountable for
anything. So he calls me up and like, I just want to let you know that this week there's an episode I think you could murder with me. I will let you know. Because I'm like, sure. I was shocked because I didn't even know you took my words seriously. And then he's like, sends me an ad, I get there. We record, it was a madness. It was good. And then normally when you record, you try to listen to what you've recorded. And then we start listening and realize that his mic was not facing his mouth. Now it started sounding very far. Bummer. And my mic was clearer.
So it's your voice was overshadowing
his voice and he was the host. That's very painful. I understand what it means. Imagine if, God forbid, we finish recording and realize that something happened. So we have to do it again. So I felt bad and I was down to record again with him. And he's like, don't worry, it's fine. We'll find a way to go about it. I said, let us do this thing again. He's like, no, don't worry, it's fine. My producers will find a way to go around this and we'll record and we'll put it out there. He has put out 2 episodes after I have been on the pod and nothing, there's no word about him recording with me or anything. I felt disrespected and I felt lied to. And I always say this thing. I mean, I call 1 year plus, I cut off a lot of people because of that thing. I feel you can do anything in the world. I mean, anything, this whole entire universe to me, but don't lie to me. Don't make me feel stupid in any way. You might not think you're lying to me, but you're trying to dodge me, but it seems like you're deceiving me. Don't do that. That's just my mantra in life. You do that to me, I just don't want to be around you any longer. And I'm not going to say anything to him because it feels like I'm begging for it. But I feel like people should be more accountable. You're not recording this thing. I feel because I already, when we recorded, I already posted and told people that listen to my pod and his pod.
That you guys had something
that we
coming.
Had something together and it's coming. They've been anticipating. So it seemed like I lied because he didn't talk about it on his whatever. He didn't see anything
number
about
one
having
red flag. Number one red flag.
I'm sorry if you listen to this, my darling. This is how I see it. If you do listen to it, this is how I see it. It might not be how it is happening on your end, but this is how I'm seeing it because you didn't reach out to me. You didn't
tell me anything. I feel like he knew from the jump after you guys had the first recording that he wasn't going to use it. Because if I am, for example, if I'm the host and I bring you as a guest or a co-host on my podcast and we do a recording together and your voice is overshadowing my own voice, for goodness sake, I'm not going to put it out. So if I know that, I'm not going to put this stuff out, I'll be like, Remy, let's do it again. Let's go again. Let's do this again because I want to put this out.
It sounded so assuring. Nothing's going to happen. Production-wise, I knew this thing was not, it was shit. Because I was a studio rat. Because I love the studio, I will still keep being a studio rat till I get what I want out of production. I'm not there yet. But I like the whole experience that I gained all through. Shout out to everyone who didn't run mad in ASUU strike, by the way. Shout out to every one of us. We made it through. Yay. But I just basically feel people should be more accountable for their actions. There are a lot of things. I could give you, I just give you an example of three guys that did something that's so similar. I can go on and on and on and on about examples.
No shade to men, but they are all men.
I mean, they're all men. Because why would you do that? I have a lot of girls that have done that to me. And me, if there's one thing I hate confrontation. If you later find out, because I also have this mantra that people know exactly what they're doing. People know what they're doing, good or bad. Something in your mind tells you, you are doing this thing. And this person knows that you're doing this thing. So most people always wait for people to come and tell them that, oh, you offended me. Oh, you did this to me. I feel like most times it's not necessary. That closure or that conversation thing, I don't really like it, because even if we have the conversation, you still do what you want to do in the end, right? So that was just the end of my rant, though. I feel like people should do well. If you're listening to this and you're close to me, or you plan on getting close to me, I beg in the name of God, if you won't lie to me, if you know you'll not be accountable for your actions, please don't even bother.
Because
before, I used to be very scared and apologetic about cutting people off. I'm snapping my fingers for you to get it. Let me move close to the mic. I don't care any longer. If I notice you moving funny or you're moving mad with me, it's on site. It's done. It's gone. I think I was speaking to my best friend the other day, and he was like, he likes how I don't even waste time like cutting people off. Like, because I do give people benefit of doubt. If I've given you a benefit of doubt over and over again, and then you're proving to still be shitty, my girl, it's deuces. It's really deuces, huh? So let's try to be better. Let's try to be good people. I get a lot of reviews about my pod when people listen, like, oh, this is so relatable. Because we do relatable stuff over here. Don't forget, it's a lifestyle podcast. Don't forget. Oh, okay. So let's really move into the business of the day, like why we're here, like what we actually want to talk about. I tweeted a couple of days ago that I took a stroll and that I'm finally inspired to start a pod. And I hope that I really get inspired more and more to create content, because I'm not the type that fakes content creation. I find it really hard. Like, I won't find peace within myself faking content creation. We're basically talking about denial, like maybe self-denial or just denial as a whole today. And for you to like understand what finally made me have the courage to talk about this, it was on a Sunday, I wanted to get cash for class for the week, and I took a stroll to the bank area. And so when you're walking, let me create a scene of my school in your head. You're walking, there's the auditorium, there's the Senate building, then there are the churches, and then there are the banks, all the banks, and some other buildings. And then there's the church. And when I was in 100 level, I used to attend chapel in church. So walking down the lane, I remembered a lot of things that happened to me. How chaotic my first year in school is. I think I'm going to have to make an episode about how chaotic school has been for me. How traumatizing school has been for me. I don't even know. Maybe Dolapo and I will have to do this again. But
it's been traumatizing. Like, when you said, oh, like how traumatizing your first year was, like, me too. Because it was hell.
Schooling in Nigeria is...
Plus, in a federal university.
And in Uni Loring. Emphasis on the University
of
Loring. That's like
the icing on the cake. Uni Loring. Just sits right there.
If I had a dollar for every time I cried my eye sockets out. So walking down that lane, like everything just kept playing in my mind. Like flashbacks. The people I fucked with. And I realized how I don't fuck with 99% of them any longer. The things I did and how much of a denial state I was. How much of the fact that I didn't do some things affected some things. I don't even know where to start from. But what's your take on denial? Like, what do you think? Have you ever been in a state of denial?
Yes, I have been in a state of denial. And funny how, like, that's very much recently. Like, I'm talking November last year. And it was like a whole process leading to that denial. Like, right. It didn't just come up like from the jump, or one day I just felt like, oh, I'm in denial about this thing. Like, it was something that was a long
time. It's usually a long process, yes. And that's one thing I want people to know, that denial is a very long process. It takes people, that's why you realize some people get married and then divorce, because they finally confront that state of denial. Like, you know, what am I actually doing? It's like people taking drugs and going to rehab. What am I actually doing? Like, go on, Dolapo, go on. It's a lot.
Okay, so I hope I'm not going to be oversharing, because I don't want to, like, you know, be all emotional and all that stuff. But something happened October last year, and I'm a very family oriented person because of the things that have happened to me in the past. I'm very big on family. Like, if you mess with my family, you're literally messing with me. And then I spent the whole of September with my grandma. Me and my grandma, like, are very close. If anybody knows me so well, they know that I can't go by a day without speaking to my grandma. Like, I can't say 5-6 sentences without inserting her somewhere in there. And then we spent the whole of September together. It was lovely and all that. And I had to travel to ABJ.
Right.
Capital city.
Yeah.
So I traveled to ABJ, and for a while we didn't speak, which is very, very unlike her, unlike me. Like, we don't go a day without speaking
to each other.
And then I overheard a conversation where my aunt was like, oh, she wants to get something done at the hospital. I was like, you know what? If Mohammed will not come to the mountain, let the mountain go to Mohammed. And I called her and I was like, ah, what's going on now? I haven't heard from you in a while. Like, how have you been? I heard you want to go to the hospital. Are you sick? And she's like, no. Because my grandma calls me Danny Care. She's like, no, Danny Care, everything is fine. I'm okay. I just want to run a couple of tests and all of that. And then after the whole test thing, we heard that they said they will have to amputate her leg.
Wow.
They will have to cut it from the knee down.
Oh my God.
And I was like, no, that will not happen. I don't mind. Let's go to another hospital. Let's get another opinion. I was just like, no, this is not going to happen. This is not how my year is going to end.
Mm.
And then we took her to another place, another hospital. And it just started to get worse. And worse and worse. And so the final place that we took her to, they're like, see, we get that this is a very emotional thing. Nobody wants this to happen to them. Nobody prays for this kind of thing. But this process, this procedure has to be done. And I was like, okay, fine. Because like for the longest time, I cried. Like, I prayed literally. I was like, God, this cannot be happening. Like, you cannot do this to me again. So after being in denial, because I was in denial, I didn't want that to happen. I was like, no, this cannot happen. There has to be a way. I knew that, oh, okay, this is something that has to happen. But I just wanted to be stubborn about it in my mind and be like, why must it happen? Like, I'm a Christian. I serve God. I worship Him, all of that. Like, this should not happen. And then the leg was amputated. See, like a week after, I just got a call and they're like, oh, my grandma passed. Like, it felt like someone poured cold water on my head.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. It felt like someone poured cold water on my body. And I'm like, how now? And I'm such an emotional person. I feel like for every time that something bad has happened, even if it's with like school, any little stress, any little thing, I'm the type of person to go into my bathroom and cry. But for the first time in a long while, I didn't shed one single tear. Like, I just did not even cry. The way, you know, Nigerians and Africans, like when something like that happens, everybody will come to your house. Oh, so sorry.
They love people.
And that even triggers.
Yeah, it actually does trigger, because people don't know what to say.
Same. And it's like you coming makes this surreal. Like, it makes this, oh, this is really happening. While in my mind, I haven't processed it. I do not believe that this has happened. So when people started to come and all of that, everybody was just crying. I just felt very bad. And I started to like juggle so many thoughts in my head and be like, do I not care for this person? Why am I not crying? Why am I very numb to like all of these emotions, all these things that are happening all at the same time? But then with time, I thought about it and I thought like I hadn't come to terms with what had happened. Like in my head, I could still hear her speak to me. Like I still had this sort of communication / connection. So everything that was happening, I did not believe it at that point in time. Even till now, it's still a work in progress. I'm still trying to like think of like, okay, this has really happened. Because sometimes I will pick up my phone, I will go through my call log, and there's this nudge I have in my heart, just like, dial that number, see if she actually picks. I'm like, see, like I told you, like all this was just in your head, like this never actually happened. But in reality, it has happened already. Like I have to come to terms with it. It might not be like a sudden thing, but like every day as I wake up, with every week that passes, every month that passes, step by step, like, I will get to that point. It might not be now, and I'm not even in a rush to be there yet.
Yeah.
But I know that like step by step, I will get there no matter how hard it is. And I feel like maybe it's like that for me because I have lost a number of people before. And just in January last year, like I lost a family member exactly the same way my grandma died, with the whole amputation, everything. So it seemed like too similar. And I hadn't even healed from that. And now this is happening. And as a child, I also lost someone very, very close to me as well. So my grandma was like literally my backbone. So I feel like it hurt too much to even accept it nor cry. That's why I felt so, so numb. So I feel like oftentimes when things happen to us, it's not we are in denial, not because we don't want to accept it or we don't know what's going on, but it's because like it hurts so much. And we know that if we accept it, like our life is going to literally crumble right before our eyes. Like everything will just feel so heavy. So we want to just move on, like nothing happened.
Definitely.
So that like, life goes on, because life is not going to stop. So why should I stop? Why should I stop doing the things I love to? Why should I stop living the way I want to because this thing happened?
Right.
So that's it.
Wow. That was really big. I'm searching for words to use to describe how I feel, because it's really hard. And like that's deep. Like if whenever you're actually going to like come to terms with that feeling, you have to actually go deep down and search, and then have conversations with yourself. And I think one thing I realized about this denial thing is everyone around you can try to help you. Or they might actually figure out what is wrong with you. Excuse me. They might figure out what's actually wrong with you even before you do. But because you haven't seen it, it's going to take a while.
They can't help you.
They can't do anything. Because I got into uni. I think we got into uni the same year. And
2019, that was 2019.
Yes.
Yeah, 2019.
And my life from 2019... 2020, 2021 was a mess. It was shitty. Well, it started taking a turn in 2022 because I chose. It was a choice. So you know what? Let me go to the other side of the rope, the other end of the rope, to like see, make an effort to like see if I actually try to do these things, what will happen? Because I think all my life, I kind of have lived in denial. Oh, this person actually does love me, when they actually clearly don't. Like, imagine you seeing clear signs and then you are feeding yourself with what you want to believe. That is very hard. Like, this like spans through like personal relationships with your friends, with your family, with anyone around you, any kind of relationship. Like, denial is basically refusal to accept things like for how they actually are. And the one step I took, like one thing I did was, you know what, assess, like have conversations with myself. For years, I was always running away from having conversation with myself because I feel like I'm not ready.
They're and difficult this, conversations.
It's difficult because it kind of even affected my talk with God. Because if I cannot talk to myself about these things that I know that they are deep down in my heart. It affected my prayer because I'd be like, and God sees my heart.
Yeah, right. I'm
like, yeah, because he reads my mind. So there's no need for me to actually go deep down to search and bring it out to say it to him when he already knows. But I realized that saying these things out actually helps me. Not God. God doesn't need my help. Like, nobody else needs my help other than I do. So if I don't say how I feel, if I even, it comes with little compliments and little things. Oh, my roommate, you don't eat. Oh, Dolakpo, I like the way you pack your hair. I think you smell nice. I think you should do this thing more often. It starts from little things like that. Like, some days I come back from class and I sit on my bed. Okay, it starts from little things. How did you act in school today? How conscious of you were you of the things that happened? You went to church today, what happened? Or you had a brawl or a back and forth with this person. What were the wrong things you said? Are you actually at fault for this person? So that's the one step I took to actually realizing that I don't want to be in denial. I started being more friendly with myself. You know, most times we open social media and we see some things like, oh, love yourself, do this, do that. And we feel like it sounds cliche. We've heard it a lot. So it sounds cliche. It sounds like, ugh. You just scroll, okay. But the truth is, these things help. It helps. Because imagine if I have an issue with you. Next thing everybody does is, oh, have a dialogue with the person. But actually, you're supposed to have a dialogue with yourself first. Trash that denial that you have with yourself. Like, work on that issue you have with yourself. So that whenever you're conversing with that person, if the person now sees things differently, like, is you guys flow? Because if you are fighting with yourself deep down, how do you want to resolve somebody else that you're fighting with? I got to school and I was given what I have never heard of in my life as a course. I'm like, what is this? As if that wasn't enough, I got the admission very late. It literally came like a Christmas gift-ish. Yes, got it late. I was having panics. And it started from that moment.
Because you're lost in a new environment.
Yeah, I was having panics. And I should have started having a conversation with myself from that point. Okay, you're panicking. Why are you panicking? This is it. Okay, this is how to go about it. But I just kept bottling those emotions, keeping them deep down in my mind. Like, oh, it's just a thought.
We go run,
it's just a thought. But most times, it's not just a thought. We no go run anything. Because all the we go run and we I talk, it took me 3 years plus to actually come out of a dark hole, because I didn't know I was sinking myself deep into things just because I was constantly denying myself of doing certain things. I got there, I didn't know anybody. Everything, it felt like I was in a different, I felt like an outcast in a school that I cried and prayed for them to give me admission, and they finally gave me something. It wasn't what I wanted. And I was like, oh, it now felt like instead of me talking to myself and then believing what I was supposed to believe or think, it was not like me picking pieces of what everybody had to say, patching it up.
I'm turning to my own.
Because I realized how much denial ruined me. We're doing true talk here. So we have to like say it ruined me. And up until last year, before I started picking up pieces of myself, I still am. Because one thing I realized is when you think you've healed of something, it comes back to test you, like, to, are you sure you really healed? Are you sure you've learned your lesson? It's to test you over and over again, and I'm still going through my tests. The people I met, the people I thought, oh, these are my forevers, these are the people that blah, 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 blah. A lot of things happened, a lot of experiences came up that made me realize, nah, this is not
it. Maybe those ones that do you dirty the most.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened. But
yeah. Because when I felt, oh, I have finally landed, I finally found my place of rest, I finally found my place of comfort. And when those things happen, you now start thinking you're the problem. Most times, you're not actually the problem. No. It's just the situation. So I kept thinking from that Sunday up until this moment how much of a state of denial I was in. Why did I do that to myself? I kept asking. Because now I'm in a better state of mind. This denial led me to depression. I was depressed. I was utterly depressed. And I started self-sabotaging. I would like, oh, this is happening to me because of this, and my problem, it's my fault, when clearly some things weren't my fault.
Before something bad even happens, you're already projecting that bad thing.
And then I read a book last year. I think I'm going to recommend it to anyone. If you don't read, I didn't used to read books before. I hated books. I used to feel like, oh, people that are reading are just oversabby people. I read this book by Tom Harv Eker. It's Secrets to a Millionaire Mind. Now, when you see the title of the book, you think, oh, it's just teach you how to make money. It's far from it. It teaches you how to like change your mindset, how to think. I read the electronic version, and then a friend gifted me the book this year. Shout out to Debbie. Thank you, Debs, for this. She's definitely going to listen. So thank you, Debbie, for this. I'm grateful. This book changed my life, because in this book, I realized that the universe works in a way that whatever you think in your subconscious, not even your conscious, it's in your subconscious. That means it's deep, deep down is what is going to happen. Because the universe is deep and it gets in touch with the deep. Deep calls into deep, and then it starts happening. So I saw how everything that happened to me for my first 3 years, because we're supposed to have graduated, by the way. COVID happened and
ASU strike
and all of that. We're supposed to have graduated.
I feel like if you could survive ASU strike,
you can survive anything.
Because the whole waiting fucked with people's heads.
People got depressed. People lost their minds.
They lost purpose and focus, rather, yeah, of like who they were and what they wanted to do, what they wanted out of life. True. Because your parents would be like, oh, what do you want to do now? ASU is on strike. Like, what are your plans? Everybody's just asking, what are your plans?
What are you doing?
What are your plans?
And then,
and it's like, yeah, you are in a hole and everybody is surrounded around you, just talking over your head. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What
like,
do you want to
you
do?
You don't have a voice. It's every other person's voice around you. And I'll say it again, because we're in school now, we're overwhelmed with school. But I remember when ASU was going on.
Let's resume, God, please.
Like every day. I remember, I think we would have morning devotions at home. And when it's any of my brothers' turn to pray, they would be like, God, let them call up the strike so my sister can go back. I think one day I'd had it up to here. I think my brother was praying that day. I caught the prayer. I'm like, please, don't pray for us to call up the strike again. I don't want to hear it. Like, it was funny. Everybody laughed, but I was not joking. I said, I'm serious. It's also my life. If they're really my life, why are they doing this to me? So, like, since that day, nobody prayed that prayer again at home. Because I'm like, pray for me to be successful in life. Pray for me to actually have guidance, like, direction. Don't tie my life to ASU, please. Leave me alone. Like, I had it up to here that day. It was funny, but yeah, everyone moved on from it. So, I don't even know how to, like, go about this thing. Because I think I should just state part of the things that I have learned from the denial that I was in. And I think that you'd agree with me. Denial, like, clouds your thinking. It does cloud your thinking, because you don't even know. I think one of the things about denial is that you don't even know you're in a state of denial until you're out of it. That's another thing. It was until I was out of it. It was until 3 years plus. And it was because I went past a place that took me through memory lane that triggered some things. I was walking with a girl. I'm like, oh, I used to take pictures under this tree. And then when we're done, we walk to bank area, because Sundays you withdraw for the week. You do this, you do that. And then I realized how much I was just lying to myself about these things. Because when I was in that department, lecturers would come and be like, oh, I know some of you. You didn't plan to be here. This was not what you asked for. This was not what you asked for. And they don't worry, you enjoy the course. You'll not be stating things that the benefit, they will tell you the good things about it, and then what you could enjoy. They'll make you feel like you are better than any other person that is doing another thing. And they make you feel like every other person is like a peasant or a nuisance compared to you. Like, they'll feed your mind with things. They would brainwash you. I don't know if some of them do it on purpose or they don't know that they're doing it, but they do these things. And then, so that, I don't know if they think they're making you feel good, but it made me feel bad and bad and bad and bad. So much that one time I wrote a letter to God about, you know what, if I'm not supposed to be here, take me away. And then it took me away, I was crying. I had forgotten that I wrote that letter. So it was like after I left that department, and then I saw the letter, and then I realized that I asked for it. So most times we need like a rude awakening. I think that's what I should call it. You need to like some things need to happen to you for you to realize that, oh, I was probably in denial about this thing. Oh, I was actually just fooling myself. And I don't know, what do you think about like being in denial? Like, what are the things, because you've clearly stated, you gave us an example about being in denial. So what are the things that you learned or you've learned about, like, when I was in this state and I got out of it and I looked back, I learned these things and I don't want them to happen to me anymore. So I'm going to keep them back on my mind. So when these thoughts come back, I know that, oh, this is it. I'm trying to like stay away from it. What are those things that you've learned?
Okay. So basically, I would say one of like the top things that I learned is trust the process.
Right.
Like, never be in a rush to just get out of something or feel a certain type of way. Like, if you're feeling pain at that point in time, go through it. Feel that pain.
Mm.
Don't be in a rush to be like, oh, why am I feeling like this? Oh, I should be an adult about this situation. I should be grown up. Why am I behaving like this? Like, just trust the process.
Right.
And another thing that I would say that I learned is just like, if you're feeling like, oh, the world is against you, this is happening, that is happening, even before these things have happened to you, God knows everything. He sees everything. Like, sorry, I'm being a little bit religious.
No, we can't. You know, that's the thing about being God-centered or oriented. You cannot take him out of any conversation. He will definitely pop up.
Pop up, yeah. So, like, just in your mind, make a resolve that, oh, like, God sees everything. Because at a point when I was going through this whole denial phase,
right,
I stopped praying. I won't lie. Like, I would say I started praying. This happened in November, and I only started praying last week. Like, again, because I was so upset. And then when I went through the denial phase and I came back from it, I was like, wait, Dolop, are you sick? How can you be upset with God? Like, if you cease to exist in this world, God will still be God.
Definitely.
God will still be God. And I started to think to myself, the world will not stop because something is happening to just you. It could be you, it could be somebody else, it could be the listeners. Like, the world is not going to stop because right. something is happening to you. You have to find a way to let your world continue. So I just like learned to let my world continue, to let nothing stop me from living my best life, because whoever is gone, to be honest. They don't have the opportunity to be here as much as we do. So why don't you just like make the most time of what you have?
You're because on your way. You're still on your way.
And from here, it's only going to be up.
Up. And that's on period.
Yeah, so it's only going to be up. So I didn't want to feel like, oh, yes, I have to stop my world. So I just learned to let life continue, to just basically live life.
Yeah. I think one thing that you said that stuck was the fact that you should let those emotions come. Those emotions. But yes, I think, yeah, you let those emotions come, but don't let them override you. Now, I'm a very emotional person. I cry. So when all those things about school phase, we're just talking about denial on just, we're just picking basic, like, just one or two things.
It's deep.
We won't end. So when I was in denial about all this school stuff, when I finally started seeing that, oh, this is actually happening to me, I would cry. And then I think I over-allowed it because I wasn't eating. Like, it affected a whole part of my life. I just wanted to be done. I don't know what I meant by that, but I just wanted to be done with everything. And then one other thing I would advise is that have good people around you. I don't think I can never overemphasize, because I've been on both sides. I've had shitty people around me. And please, I want to put this disclaimer out there, that somebody is bad to me does not mean that they could be bad to you, or someone is good to you does not mean that they are good to me too. They could be really shitty people to me, because we don't have the same experiences with these people. they didn't do the same things they did to me to you. So someone can be able to keep up appearances around you or with you all days of their life, but I see through them no matter how much they try. So having good people around you helps a lot, because if you're in denial or if you're going through some things that make you get into the state of denial, if you have good people around you, they would help you. They would help you see things that even when you actually come out of that denial, you're like, oh, Tolakbo actually told me this, but I didn't see it coming. Have good people around you so that when you're going through things, right, you know that, oh, I have good people around me. Just, I don't even know how to overemphasize it. Whenever you're going through things like this, good people are around you. So way forward, like as we round up, Dolapo, what are your final words? What do you think people should do about this denial thing? Do you think, oh, they should run away from me, they should shy away, or they should experience it, and then how do they handle it? How do they move on from it and be better people about it?
Well, I feel like you should most definitely not run away from it, because if you do, it would still come back to bite you in the ass. Like, it's something that's going to be facing you head on. So I feel like we should take it, or they should take it, like one step at a time, one day after another. Like, if you wake up today, you're not feeling your best, just try to like live your day regardless of still not feeling your best. The next day, if you feel like, oh, I'm good, I'm up for it, like, do things that you know would make you happy. If you like to bake or you like to hang out with friends, like, hang out with friends. Just do things that you know.
Good friends, please.
Not emphasis, bad people.
Emphasis on the good people.
Good friends.
Because you could be around some people and then you're trying to project how you're feeling and they just thwart your feelings, or
they undermine it.
I'm
like, why are you feeling that way?
No, it's not.
There are people that have been through worse than
you.
No, be around people that are supportive, that will surround you with positive energy, that would help you to face the things that you're facing head on. Yeah, just surround yourself with good people.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever thing you know that you can do that helps you tap into this level of like emotional being in your head. Like, if it's you like to pray, or you like to meditate, or you like to take a stroll, read books, something that just lets you think about everything that's happened and that gives you a sense of peace.
Right.
Just do it, because it would help in the long run.
Yeah. To be very honest, you noticed I gave Dolapo the floor a lot, because one of the reasons why I've never really had people on my pod is because I'm very, very picky. I wouldn't want someone who would change my line of thought or make it so hard to be on the pod. I'm not that type of person. And I think fate brought Dolapo and I together to Dolapo has been feeling herself over here. I don't even understand. But fate brought us together, and I think this is a good jinx. Oh, is that that feels like an oxymoron. But it's a good thing. Like, Dolapo is opening up for more good people to be on the pod. So cheers to having more people. Thank you, Dolapo, for being on.
Welcome.
Thank you for being so open with your experiences. Thank you for diverging and letting the listeners know that they're not alone with their feelings. And if you're in denial and you know that you're in denial, please be more aware, be open with your emotions, please, so that you get better, because more will still come. That's just the shocking reality. If you don't deal with this one, you're just piling it up. So deal with one thing at a time. Like Dolapo said, one step at a time. I love you so much. Thank you for listening to the pod. We hope to be more consistent. Dolapo, please sign up.
Bye, guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful week ahead.
We love you. Bye.
Bye.
Omnivore Podcast.